Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to this edition of We're Hit Radio, and I'm your host, Mark Matheny. And today is the 8th of December. Yesterday was Pearl Harbor. And in the news, of course, there's a lot of things going on. If you haven't seen, there is big things going on in the news right now, you know, with the Democrats, of course, trying to impeach President Trump. Been pushing hard. They've been pushing long. They've got their, investigator Mueller on the case, trying to find evidence of Russian collusion. And, of course, they've been able to produce a lot of false information, but they haven't been able to produce much real evidence. And so the saga continues of the Democrats and the deep state pushing for the impeachment of Donald Trump. And, you know, the real reason is not because he's a racist or a misogynist or any of these things. The real reason they're pushing for the impeachment of President Trump is because of his promises to make America great again. It's not because he's a racist. You know, there you can go back and you can watch, you can go back and research President Trump. I mean, he has been in the media for years. They've never had anything on him as far as, you know, him being a racist. I think the only thing that they ever had that might have even rang close to being able to be, you know, questioned was when, and don't quote me, but when he had some lawsuit against him with a bunch of other companies that were being sued too for possible neglect of hiring or not hiring, but allowing blacks to move into apartment complexes or something. But he was swept into a big lawsuit against a bunch of different businesses, I guess. And it was later dropped against him. So in that case, there was never really anything against him. But the real reason is, like you said, the danger that he presents to the globalists. You know, when he was running for president, he said, Americanism, not globalism, will be our credo. And so this was a threat to the globalists who were setting up, you know, through the Council on Foreign Relations, through the Trilateral Commission, and many other think tank groups, and through the United Nations. They have been trying to destroy national sovereignty and boundaries of countries and create more international norms. And so even in schools and things, they've been teaching that globalization is good, that we are all intertwined and so on, which in and of itself isn't bad. We are all human beings, but nevertheless, you know, if you go all the way back to Genesis, even the Holy One divided the tongues of the people when they were building the Tower of Babel. And he said, now they've all become one people and one nation and one language. And now anything that they purpose to do will not be withheld from them. So he confounded their languages and they stopped building the towers, at, you know, and they scattered them upon the face of the earth. And then, you know, basically they formed tribes and so on. And then you had nation states basically from the developing from that. But create a world government. And this is what I've been talking about on my website for 9 years. This is what I talk about in my videos and on the radio shows and so on. And so President Trump is now their target because he's seeking to secure the borders, one of the things that the globalists did not want. He's seeking to deregulate here in the United States, and this is something they didn't want. He shot down NAFTA, or he's renegotiating NAFTA, talking about renegotiating or dropping it. He's dropped TPP, the Trans-Pacific Partnership. He's shot down the Paris Accord agreements and said, we're out of there. Several compartments within the United Nations. He's bad-mouthed the United Nations. And they don't like these things, obviously. So these are the real reasons they're attacking Trump. And, then they're coming out with saying that President Trump is not mentally fit to run the country, but yet Trump's job numbers have come out and for November, and unemployment is at a 17-year low. 2.2 million new jobs have been created since the election. I mean, these are awesome things that they don't want to tell you about. They don't want to talk about, or they don't want to attribute to President Trump. They want to just act like that's just normal. It was quite the opposite when President Obama was in office. And you got more Americans now working, than you have in a long time. And this is from the Gateway Pundit. It states that President Trump's economy is on fire. And we're not talking about California, because we know California is on fire right now, too. But Trump's economy is doing great. The job numbers have been released through the end of November, and they show an increase of 2.2 million jobs since last year's election, and an unemployment rate of 4.1%. That's a U3 report, of course. After the same period under Obama, 4.8 million jobs lost and unemployment skyrocketing to 9.9%. But President Trump's results are basically really good right now. The stock market is the highest ever. Jobs are created, being created by the thousands. And according to data released by the Bureau of Labor Statistics recently, within just a day or so ago, I think it was released. Well, it was released today. President Trump added a projected 1.9 million jobs in the first 11 months of the year, from January to November, and 2.2 million jobs since last year's election. Now, if you go back and you look at President Obama's first 11 months, he lost 4.8 million jobs. Now, of course, we know that, there was a bad economy. So some of that was attributed to that. But yet, his second term wasn't that good. And remember, at one point, President Obama knew it was so bad that he basically said jobs weren't coming back. So, he's been a pretty bad president job-wise. And he asked, remember, there was a time when he was asked about the Carrier Corps jobs in Indiana. And it was back in June of 2016. And he responded by saying, when somebody says, like the person you just mentioned, who I'm not going to advertise for, he was talking about President Trump, he says that he's going to bring all these jobs back. Well, how exactly is he going to do that? He says, what are you going to do? There's no answer to it. He just says, I'm going to negotiate a better deal. He says, well, how? How exactly are you going to negotiate? With a magic wand? You know, what kind of magic wand do you have? And usually the answer is, he doesn't have an answer. Remember when President Obama said that? You know, he was mocking President Trump, or at that time, you know, the president-elect or the candidate at the time, and stating that there was no way that he would be able to bring them jobs back. But when Trump came into office, the first full month in office, he created about 298,000 jobs. Nobody was questioning that then. Instead, I mean, everybody keeps saying that he's riding on the back of Obama, but yet Obama was admitting that jobs were not going to be coming back. He was saying it. So how could it be that Trump was riding on the back of Obama when Obama didn't even think there were jobs coming back, and said basically that Trump would need a magic wand to bring jobs back? So how do you explain that? You know, Trump has an economy that is just doing wonderful, and basically President Obama's was failing miserably. So bad that when President Trump came in and said he's going to make America great and do great things, Obama doubted it and said there's no way. You'd need a magic wand, basically, is what he was saying. But the job market is strengthening under President Trump. And this shows how the Democrats have abandoned basically the working class. They're trying to remove Trump out of office, a president who's creating jobs and bringing back wealth to the United States, bringing back consumer confidence to the United States, strengthening the stock market. And they want to get rid of him. So this shows you that their game plan isn't for jobs. They instead want to create a migrant class of workers who are on permanent welfare. They don't want to create wealth. They don't want to create independence. They don't want to strengthen the borders and give people who come to this country a sense of nationalism. They don't want the immigrants who do come to learn English and become an American citizen. You shouldn't have to do that, according to the Democrats, according to the deep state, according to the globalists who want to destroy the United States. They want to break it down. They want to bring it to its knees. And so when President Obama was in office, ISIS was running rampant, going crazy. But with President Trump in office, him and Mad Dog Mattis, they've been basically destroying ISIS. Military has been turned loose. President Trump said, well, I'm not going to put all these rules of engagement on you. I'm going to lift those in order to fight your enemy. And this is exactly what's been going on. According to Fox News, an article that was published today, Trump and Mattis have turned the military loose on ISIS, leaving terror caliphate in tatters, it says. Hundreds of ISIS fighters have just been chased out of a northern Syrian city and were fleeing through the desert in long convoys, presenting an easy target to U.S. A-10 Warthogs. But those orders to bomb them never came because those terrorists were able to just melt away into their caliphate. According to the article, Living to Fight Another Day, that was back in 2016. Under President Obama. Because under President Obama, when Hillary Clinton was in, they were covertly and overtly funding ISIS and other radical Islamic groups in an attempt to overthrow Syria. And this was even, according to the article, even as then Republican presidential nominee Donald Trump was vowing on the campaign trail to let the generals in his administration crush the organization that under President Obama had grown from the JV team to the world's most feared terrorist organization. And, you know, it's a sad thing when someone like ISIS, a group like ISIS, can become the most terrored, fearful organization of terror, because they were not that well trained until, you know, President Obama and Hillary Clinton and them allowed them to be trained. But yet Donald Trump, when he was running, said he was going to quickly and decisively bomb the hell out of ISIS, basically, is what he said. And then he picked Mad Dog Mattis to be Secretary of Defense. And he promised that we will not have to listen to the politicians who are losing the war on terrorism. And he's been able to keep that promise. Just over a year later, ISIS has been ran out of Iraq, from Syria, and they've done it with such a quickness and with such a speed that even the men and women, the soldiers who carried out that mission, the generals and all of them, were even surprised. And so President Trump has, this is a strong sign of one of his promises being kept. You know, he threw out the rules of engagement, like I said, which was slowing down the military, hampering the military, and he let the generals make the decisions in the theater of war, not a bunch of bureaucrats in Washington sitting at desks. But while President Obama was in office, ISIS at their peak had held land in Iraq and in Syria, a lot of land. A lot of land, according to Fox News, the land equaled about the size of West Virginia and had about as many as 8 million people controlling oil fields, refineries, agriculture, smuggling routes, and vast arsenals. And it even printed its own currency and ruled brutally in the areas where they were at, with atrocities that would probably make Hitler blush, to be honest. If you've ever seen some of the videos, if you've ever seen some of the things that they've done, it's just horrible what they've done. And yet, it now only controls about 3% of Iraq and less than 5% of Syria in its little caliphate, which is crumbling. You know, it still remains a danger, of course, but it's being stomped out, and they're doing a great job. Mad Dog Mattis, as they call him, and the president. But yet, ISIS is trying to regroup, and they've left areas of in the Middle East and have gone to places like the Philippines. You're starting to hear a lot about attacks and things in the Philippines. And in the hellhole of Libya and along the Sinai Peninsula. And in Libya, because, again, you can go back and you look at what President Obama and Hillary Clinton did. They went into Libya that was stable, ran by a secular leader, Muammar Gaddafi, and they sent in the PMFs, the private military forces, the radical groups under the guise of being rebels that were rebelling against a brutal government, as they've said or as they claimed. But if you go back and do research on Libya, they had the highest standard of living in Africa at the time. And, Gaddafi had calmed down his ways after the bombing by, President Ronald Reagan kind of shaped him up. But yet they went in and they had him killed. As you know, Hillary Clinton said, "We came, we saw, he died." And it was because they were smuggling weapons through Benghazi. This is the whole Benghazi episode. This is why they abandoned the ambassador Stevens there. Horrible things. But nevertheless, the military's job, which they have done very well under the leadership of President Trump and Mad Dog Mattis, was to take back the land that ISIS had taken and claimed as its caliphate. And their job was to liberate cities like Mosul in Iraq and Raqqa and Syria and a lot of little smaller cities and villages, which has largely been done now. And it's taken them less than a year, but Obama and them supposedly couldn't defeat them in, however many years it was. A matter of a few years, ISIS just grew and grew and grew with no one to oppose them under the leadership of Obama. The leadership team that is in place right now has certainly enabled us to succeed, said Brigadier General Andrew Croft, the ranking U.S. Air Force officer in Iraq. When he was talking to Fox News, he said, "I couldn't ask for a better leadership team to work for to enable the military to do what it does best." President Trump gave a free hand to Mattis, who in May stressed military commanders were no longer being slowed by Washington decision cycles or by the White House micromanaging that existed under President Obama. And as a result of that new approach, the fall of ISIS in Iraq came more swiftly than hardened U.S. military leaders expected. So here's another win and another promise kept by President Trump. As a matter of fact, CNN News published a report card recently on December 6th talking about Donald Trump's accomplishments. And here's exactly what it says on their site, CNN Politics. It says, "Donald Trump made hundreds of promises, pledges, and threats on his road to the White House. This continuously updated interactive feature tracks his progress in delivering on that agenda at the beginning of his term." And it goes through. You can see this if you look it up, CNN Politics, Trump's promises. You can Google it. And they surprisingly did a pretty fair assessment, except for a couple things. As far as bringing back jobs, they basically state that he hasn't done anything. But we know better than that. We know that he's done very well, but they don't want to admit to that. But for the most part, the report card was pretty decent. Said he withdrew from TPP 100%, renegotiating or withdrawing from NAFTA. They gave him like an 80%, greenlighting pipelines like DAPL and Keystone about 90%, deporting millions of undocumented immigrants is what they call it, but illegal immigrants. They said that he's only 40%. This is bullcrap. He's doing an excellent job of deporting them, and he has cut it by 70%, illegal immigrants coming into the United States. He withdrew from the Paris Climate Agreement. That was 100%. Moving the embassy in Israel to Jerusalem. Now, just the other day, he declared officially that Jerusalem is the capital of Israel, that the United States recognizes that, and that they would be moving the embassy to Jerusalem, the U.S. embassy. He's reversed a lot of environmental restrictions, and they gave him a pretty decent bill for that of about 70%. Blocking Syrian refugees, lowering taxes for individuals and corporations. They've given him a poor grade on that, saying he's only about 20% completed. But that's, you know, because it gets a lot of opposition from the Democrats, obviously. Renegotiating the Iran deal is only about 20%, probably because he doesn't want to renegotiate an Iran deal, you know. But if he's going to, it's going to have to be a lot different than what it is now. And then they did give him good marks on defeating ISIS and, you know, for the most part. But that's at their website, CNN Politics. And but the Bureau of Labor Statistics says that total non-farm payroll employment increased by 228,000 in November. And the unemployment rate was unchanged at 4.1%, a steady low rate. Employment continued to trend up in professional and business services and in manufacturing and healthcare, according to the Bureau of Labor Statistics. It says among major worker groups, the unemployment rate for teenagers increased to about 15.9% in November. The jobless rates for adult men were at 3.7%, adult women 3.7%, whites 3.6%, blacks 7.3%, Asians 3%, Hispanics 4.7%, and that's actually pretty low for the Hispanic group, and so that was a good thing. It was at its lowest it has been in a long time. I think in the history of the United States, it's been the lowest, according to some reports. So for them to say he's not doing well, this is what the left says. This is what the elites say. They try to make it sound like he's doing horrible when he's doing great. The job numbers in the report is good news for American workers, but the lack of stronger wage growth is not, said Robert Frick, corporate economist with the Navy Federal Credit Union. He says without stronger wage growth, higher inflation remains in doubt, and it takes away one reason for the Fed being more aggressive in hiking rates. It only went up by like 2.5%. It still was growing, but just not growing, you know, as much as some economists would say it should. But nevertheless, you know, President Trump is doing a good job, but they, of course, you know, the mainstream media and them don't want to say that. The biggest November job gains came in professional and business services with 46,000, manufacturing with 31,000, healthcare with 30,000, and in total, goods producing occupations rose by 62,000. Construction saw a gain of 24,000, almost all of which were specialty trade contracts in a profession that has added 132,000 jobs over the past year. It says heading into the holiday season, retail jobs also grew by 187,000. This is according to CNBC. And it says with continued improvement in the labor market, room for continued upward trajectory in 2018 is likely limited because there's not much slack left to hire workers and further growth. This is what Steve Rick, chief economist of Kuna Mutual Group, said. The quality of job creation tilted toward full-time, whose ranks grew by 160,000, while part-time positions contracted by 125,000. So, you know, President Trump is moving these people back into full-time jobs, which is a great thing. But you wouldn't know that from the mainstream media, who just wants to keep telling you that there's Russians all over the place spying and just colluding with Donald Trump and all of these things. But that's fallen apart too. The Democrats are not getting as far with that now because they have not been able to really fully convince anybody of that except themselves. And now all kinds of things are coming out against the Mueller team and how there's a lot of biased investigation, picking sides, helping out Hillary Clinton when they were investigating her, but wanting to roast Donald Trump. Under Hillary Clinton, there was mountains of evidence. And against President Trump, all they have is a fake dossier that was paid for in part by the DNC. So this is what we have. And then you got crazy Maxine Waters basically coming out saying that Congress can just define impeachment in any way they want. You know, I mean, if that's the case, yeah, they could impeach. And she looks absolutely horrible. I don't know if you've seen any pictures of her lately, but oh my God, poor lady. The amazing Maxine Waters on Wednesday gave an interview update on her relentless effort to impeach President Trump at the International LGBTQ Leadership Conference in Washington, D.C. She's 79 years old. She's a career politician from California, and she told Man-Made Multimedia that impeachment is a big idea that not all of her colleagues are ready to commit to, in part because they don't even understand what it actually means. I don't even think she does. But she argued that her participation in the impeachment of President Bill Clinton gives her the unique experience to head the process, which she insists lawmakers can instigate at any time, with or without evidence that the president committed a crime. The lady's a nut. So, you know, here's one of them. Senile Maxine Waters. Not that I'm trying to pick on senility, because there's nothing funny about that. But you have Mueller and them just absolutely out to crucify President Trump, and they haven't been able to do it. They haven't been able to do it. There's been several articles that I've talked about with Peter Strzok and them, and how Peter Strzok, you know, basically was using the fake dossier to get FISA warrants to push for the investigation of President Trump by Mueller. And then this is where they get their information from, a phony dossier. It's crazy. So the good thing is it's falling apart on them. But the bad thing is these people are relentless. And, you know, Sessions, Jeff Sessions isn't, he's lethargic. You know, he's not doing anything to retaliate, not to retaliate, I'll say, but, you know, there is a lot of information now coming out, and a lot of emails and a lot of hard evidence showing that this is clearly almost like a coup attempt against the president by corrupt individuals. And yet, Jeff Sessions isn't pushing to investigate Hillary Clinton over the emails. He's not pushing to investigate anything, it seems like. But the DOJ is, they say, coming out to investigate these allegations of the FBI showing favoritism, basically, and so on. So hopefully that does happen, but we'll see. And there was a tweet out by Ivanka Trump that said the Hispanic unemployment rate dropped to 4.7%. That's the lowest in the history of the United States. So that does show you again, you know, regardless of what people say, I hear people all the time, President Trump this, President Trump that, in a negative way. But yet, even when they see the positive side of things going on, they still refuse to give him credit. And then you got the fake news coming out all the time with fake news that they report and they announce because they know that the average person out there doesn't go back and research things. So they can just say it and then they can, oh, well, we apologize. We misspoke the last time. But by that time, it's already out there. But it's not happening because you got the alternative news media like Six Umber Tyrannus News, We're Hit Radio, and, you know, great organizations, regardless of what anybody says, like Infowars.com. And Cernovich and lots of other just big organizations that are alternative organizations, Project Veritas, and then you've got the Watch Group that it just does a great job of keeping on Washington, D.C. Judicial Watch. They do a great job of investigating. I mean, in-depth investigations. And so these are the organizations that you need to be listening to, not CNN News, the Clinton News Network, or the Communist News Network, or the Counterfeit News Network, or the Cynical News Network, or the Clown News Network, whatever you want to call them. Another great reporter and radio talk show host, Mark Levin, has been reporting on this as well. And now Republicans are coming out for calling for investigations against Mueller and against, this whole Russian investigation. Because they're spending millions and millions of dollars with no end in sight. And they're not investigating the Russian collusion people. They're investigating Trump, and they're just trying to get any kind of dirt they can get on him. It wouldn't matter what it is, so that they can try to impeach him. It's not going to happen, in my opinion. I believe, my prediction is that President Trump will go through his 4 years and possibly run a second term. As long as he's in good health, I think he will. And that's really when he'll get his momentum. But the mainstream media and them try to paint the picture of Trump being mentally unstable, claiming he's going to cause war and so on, when we know better. And Roger Stone came out saying that, the Mueller team has to be investigated. They're the ones who need to be investigated. The Republicans need to get off their butts, and they need to push for an investigation. If they got to get a special prosecutor or whatever, they should do it. More controversy that's mounting now over the FBI and the use of that fake dossier, the one that was done by Fusion GPS. They used that Russian dossier to get the FISA Trump surveillance. And this is out of Washington, D.C. This is from Jerome Corsi, an excellent article. And it's titled, FBI Director Wray says a deep state operative, or he is a deep state operative with ties to Comey, according to Jerome Corsi. Watching FBI Director Christopher Wray elude hard questions during his testimony to the House Judiciary Committee yesterday by referring to an ongoing Inspector General's investigation, Wray's history as a deep state operative came into sharper focus. Now listen to this. On Thursday, Fox News correspondents James Rosen and Jake Gibson reported that Bruce G. Orr, a senior DOJ official, was demoted this week amid an ongoing investigation into his contacts with Fusion GPS, the opposition research firm responsible for the Trump dossier. Under questioning by Representative Jim Jordan, representative of Ohio, before the House Judiciary Committee on Thursday, Wray refused to say whether discredited FBI agent Peter Strzok was behind the use of the Fusion GPS dossier to obtain FISA court permission to conduct electronic surveillance on various members of Donald Trump's presidential campaign. In an interview with One America News, following the House Judiciary Committee hearings on Thursday, Jordan renewed his call for a second special counsel to be appointed to investigate the FBI's handling of the Clinton email scandal and the developing scandal over Mueller's handling of the Russian collusion case. And on Thursday, Senate Judiciary Committee Chairman Chuck Grassley, who's a representative of Iowa, sent a letter to FBI Director Wray demanding the FBI turn over all records relating to Strzok, including his 10,000 emails with his mistress, DOJ Prosecutor Lisa Page, plus all the FBI communications regarding the Fusion GPS Russian dossier, as well as all the FBI communications with the FISA court. So the tables are turning, folks. Now let's talk a little bit about Wray's history with Comey. On September 11, 2003, on being confirmed by the Senate as Assistant Attorney General in charge of Criminal Division of the Justice Department, Wray worked under Deputy Attorney General James Comey. And while heading the Criminal Division, Wray oversaw the Enron Task Force, investigating, among other issues, the criminal malfeasance of Auditor Arthur Anderson. Now, Sidney Powell, a former U.S. attorney whose 2014 book, License to Lie, Exposing Corruption in the Department of Justice, is a shocking expose of the prosecutorial impropriety that she maintains still runs rampant today among the Department of Justice prosecutors, and warned Enron case was tarnished by a history of Department of Justice prosecutorial misconduct. Powell focuses on the role played in the Enron prosecution by Andrew Weissman, a DOJ prosecutor who is now part of Mueller's team and is capable of extorting guilty pleas. And noting on page 35 that Weissman was the driving force behind the indictment of Arthur Anderson in the Enron case, Weissman used the special tactics he developed prosecuting organized criminals, convinced that even if some of his special tactics went outside of the bounds, the ends justified the means when prosecuting seriously bad criminals or bad guys. And on page 410 of her book, Powell pointed that Weissman forced Duncan into a guilty plea by misrepresenting to Duncan that his innocent conduct in the case was criminal. Now think about that, because now we're going to look at Flynn. But calling the DOJ prosecutors in the Enron case a cabal that came together in 2002, Powell charges that those involved in the Enron prosecution emboldened and fed each other's worst traits. Now, on page 408 of her book, it says, in the distorted pursuit of convictions and power, they sought to win at any cost. They only knew all the evidence they withheld. Only they knew all the evidence they withheld and all of the laws they broke to achieve their self-defined ends, Powell charged. They have continued through the years to protect and encourage each other, and they have been promoted by Obama to positions of enormous power and influence despite their legacy of injustice, she wrote. Now, the article goes on and says, it would be unprecedented if the FBI used Democratic Party opposition research to obtain FISA court authorization for the NSA to conduct an electronic surveillance on principals within Donald Trump's GOP presidential campaign, Jordan insisted during the hearing. But if holding anti-Trump opinions was the reason Strzok was dismissed from Mueller's team, then 95% of Mueller's team would have to be dismissed, Jordan pressed, arguing there had to be another reason Mueller demoted Strzok. This was when he was during this hearing that he was talking about. He says Ray objected that the FBI information prepared to support FISA court requests would be marked classified and as such could not be released to Congress. And he kept saying he wasn't going to talk about it in the open hearing. Did Peter Strzok help produce and present the application to the FISA court to secure a warrant to spy on Americans associated with the Trump campaign? Jordan asked. And then Ray responded by saying, I'm not prepared to discuss what happened in the court. Now, Representative Bob Goodlatte, who is a representative of Virginia, chairman of the House Judiciary Committee, then interrupted Jordan and pointed out that to Ray that the committee would be happy to review in closed session the FISA court electronic surveillance recommendation that Jordan requested. And the Washington Examiner noted that Strzok was a top counterintelligence official at the FBI before joining Mueller's special counsel team. And this was what I talked about in a video the other day that I posted, because while Strzok was at the FBI, he played a role in the investigation into Hillary Clinton's private email server while she was serving as Secretary of State, a role that included rewriting then FBI Director Comey's to change grossly negligent to extremely careless, as well as participating in the investigation of General Michael Flynn. So this is what Peter Strzok did. That was one of the main things, because if you go back and remember that, you know, Gowdy, when reviewing these things, kept saying, you know, what is the difference between gross negligence and extreme carelessness? Well, and the reason why they used extreme carelessness and not gross negligence, it was because the gross negligence would have probably incriminated her, and you know, and then she would have had to have been investigated by Loretta Lynch. So they changed it. Now, it says, let's remember a couple of things about the dossier, Jordan stressed, as reported by Washington Examiner. He says, the Democratic National Committee and the Clinton campaign, which we now know were one and the same, paid the law firm who paid Fusion GPS, who paid Christopher Steele, who then paid the Russians, to put together a report that we call a dossier full of all kinds of fake news, National Enquirer garbage, he says, and it's been reported that the dossier was all dressed up by the FBI, taken to the FISA court, and presented as a legitimate intelligence document. And then it became the basis for a warrant to spy on Americans, Jordan then continued. Pressed by Representative Ted Poe, representative of Texas, Ray refused to answer questions regarding how many U.S. civilians had been subjected to electronic surveillance under the FISA court orders. And again, Goodlatte interrupted it to insist the FBI has refused consistently to answer this question, a question that the House Judiciary Committee could demand to be answered in closed session, given the committee's oversight responsibilities regarding the FBI. And then, you know, right after this, recently, you have had a DOJ official demoted. And this is according to Fox News. Bruce Orr held two titles at the DOJ, Associate Deputy Attorney General, a post that placed him four doors down from his boss, Attorney General Rod Rosenstein, and the Director of Organized Crime Drug Enforcement Task Forces. That was his other job, a program described by the department as the counterpiece of the Attorney General's drug strategy. And then Fox News further reported that Orr will retain his OCDETF title, but has been stripped of his higher post and ousted from the office on the fourth floor of the main justice, evidently collected by the House Permanent Select Committee on Intelligence, chaired by Representative Devin Nunes, who's done a great job. He's a representative of California. It indicates that Orr met during the 2016 campaign with Christopher Steele, the former British spy who authored the dossier. So after the election, Orr met with Glenn Simpson, a founder of Fusion GPS, at a time when published reports indicate the dossier had been in the hands of the FBI for 5 months. And then the Washington Post was one of the first to report that the FBI agreed in August 2016 to pay the dossier's author, Christopher Steele, for further work that might help in its investigation into possible collusion between Russia and the Trump campaign. On October 30th, InfoWars reported that Special Counsel Robert Mueller's case was in danger of being thrown out of court if it should be proved that the FBI obtained the court permission to conduct and make surveillance of former campaign manager Paul Manafort or General Michael Flynn or General Flynn based on a fraudulent GPS, Fusion GPS Russian dossier that the FBI, the Clinton campaign, and the Democratic National Committee paid to have produced. So are you beginning to see the corruption on their side? But how can anybody say that they have evidence when the FISA, all this stuff was based on this phony dossier that was paid for, like it says, by the FBI and campaign and the Democratic National Committee? And then you have the director of the FBI who exonerates Hillary Clinton for basically what he said, crime she committed. I mean, if you listen to that speech, he basically says, yeah, she's guilty as freaking all could be, but we're not going to prosecute her because she was just extremely careless. Not grossly negligent, you know, but extremely careless. And they know, as well as you know, as well as I know, she committed a crime. So this is what we have. We have this corruption, extreme corruption, but it's starting to fall apart. And so sooner or later, it looks like this Russian, you know, the investigation into Trump's collusion with Russia is going to end at some point. And they probably destroyed themselves by, you know, putting indictments against Flynn, because now the whole house of wax is melting, which is a good thing. The Teflon Don is still there. So we'll go into some more stuff, but I'm going to sign out for right now, just reminding you that I do have Six Semper Tyrannus News, and we do have We're Hit Television, We're Hit Radio that you can come to and listen to, and I will post them on Facebook when I do the show live, which is live right now, but I will post it on Facebook so you can listen to it. So this is Mark Matheny for Six Semper Tyrannus News and We're Hit Radio saying, protect your own rights, people, and stand up. If you like President Trump, stand up for him. Don't be afraid to. And don't be afraid of what your friends say. And if you are a black person, don't be afraid to say that you like President Trump if you do. So for 6 Emperor Tyrannus News, I'm signing out. Thanks again, guys. You have a great day.